would you say if I said that I could bring him back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact, jacked, ready to rap and attack. Small John on your lawn, living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet to your dome.
Tonight when he comes up here, he's either gonna kill or he's gonna suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I'm John Forward. It's been a little bit since I've done a new episode of this. I've been focusing on my Harry Potter reviews, This Magic Moment, that's on the podcast feed. I think it's on the YouTube too, but no video. Very important, 37-year-old John Forward watching Harry Potter for the first time. I've got one more to go. I haven't watched the Deathly Hallows Part 2. It's coming, but the last little while I've been attending the virtual version of the Fantasia Film Festival that I've gone to a few times in person in Montreal. It's mostly like horror and fantasy stuff, but because of the pandemic, everything's online, so been streaming some movies. That's been fun. The world's still bad and no sign of getting better. I don't have anything new to say about it, so I'm not going to. I had a bit of a cold a week ago. I was blowing my nose a lot and I had a sore throat. Didn't think I had coronavirus, but you know, I was going to be around people, so I wanted to find out. So last weekend I went to get a COVID test. Called 811 in the morning, told them what was going on with me, and they said that somebody would be in touch with me sometime in the next 21 hours, and that could mean that this happens in the middle of the night. Is that okay? And I said okay. So I get off the phone, not expecting to get a phone call anytime soon. I had kind of a sore throat, so I didn't want to smoke weed. I wanted to get high, though. I remembered I had a couple of homemade edibles in the freezer. So I had one of those, and 2 hours later, I do get a phone call from a public health nurse, explained what was going on, and they said, well, you can come right down to the testing site right now if you want. And I thought, okay. And the edible was starting to kick in, so asked May to drive me down, and pulled into the little tent, and getting a COVID test is a deeply, deeply unpleasant situation. You should still get it if you're worried that you have it. You don't want to spread it around, but they shove a cotton swab like way up your nose, like, and just deeply unpleasant. I think everybody could tell how in distress that I was. May reached over to hold my hand like I was a little kid. It was appreciated. I think I needed it. And it's in there. The nurse had to tell me to, like, unscrunch my face, but it's hard to not scrunch your face when, you know, your brain's being poked. And I've got like tears running down my face, just not pleasant having a thing shoved way up your nose. But anyway, they pulled it out, and the person on the phone said that it could take like 4 days for results. The nurse that took it gave me the website information, said I can check in 24 hours. So anyway, May starts driving us home, and I'm just, in my head, I'm like, just thinking about how unpleasant of an experience this was, and, you know, the edibles really kicking in, so I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, oh my god, that was terrible, I hope I don't have to do this again. And, you know, then I start to get dizzy, and I'm feeling lightheaded. I think it's just because, you know, I don't know, probably the edible didn't help, but I'm feeling dizzy. I tipped the seat back a little bit, and like May can tell that I'm being a little bit weird, and she's like, "Hey, are you okay?" And according to her, my response was mumble, 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 60. And then I remember her pointing out how alarming of an answer that is when you ask your loved one if they're okay and they give an answer that doesn't make any sense. And I tried to explain it. No, it came out wrong, but what I meant to say, I think I meant to say like woozy or dizzy. It came out as 60. And I was trying to explain what I meant, but still my speech was slurred and I was like, I was not feeling well. Pulled into the driveway and I was just like, and like I was trying to downplay it because, you know, I was paranoid because of the edible probably that I feel like, oh no, why did I get high before going to get my COVID test? This is a stupid thing. And I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to stand up. We pulled into the driveway here at the house, and I got out, and like I could stand up, but it was like, whoa, and like light was very bright. Like it was like you turn the contrast way up or down. I don't know. Everything just seemed very blurry, and I'm like fumbling from, I just want to get in the house and lay down on my couch. So I get into the house and just lay down on the couch, and May is in a bit of a panic. She my mom died of a brain aneurysm, so anytime anything weird happens with me, May thinks that I'm having a brain aneurysm and I'm about to die. Which, you know, who knows, maybe someday. But you know, every time I get very occasional migraines or even just a regular headache, it sounds the alarm bells. So I seem to be having a bit of an episode and I can't even speak English. And I laid down on the couch and asked for some fizzy water. I think she got me a strawberry bubbly, and almost immediately I felt fine again. Went to the bathroom, was able to read a magazine in there and make sense of it, so everything was okay. May in the other room was having a freak out. She thinks that she's going to have to call 911 and I'm going to have to go to the hospital, and that my brain exploded on the inside. Turns out that this is an uncommon, but it happens, response to a COVID test. May did some Googling. I guess 10% of people have this reaction to having a thing jammed up into your brain. Apparently, my body thought that I was drowning. So I'm not sure. I guess like I felt like a burst of heat and like sweat came out and the adrenaline kicked up. But if my body thinks that I'm drowning, I don't know if messing with my vision and my ability to think and like orient myself, I don't think that's going to help me out in a drowning situation. So, body, stop being stupid. But anyway, a couple of days later, I got my COVID test. It was negative, so I don't have the plague. I was hoping that I would find out if I had the antibodies or not, because you know I've gotten mildly sick a couple of times, and part of me was hoping that that I had it and it wasn't a big issue, and that I've got some level of immunity now. But I guess our tests don't tell us that, or the people checking it, I don't know, maybe it's in a database somewhere, but I don't know. If I know that I don't have it, and at least as of last weekend, I don't know if I had it before or if I will get it again, but I hope not. But let's move on to the show. The reason I've come out of semi-retirement for this is because I got reached out to again about doing an interview. Toronto comedian Rob Bebenek, he has an album called Everything Is Fine. It just came out on August 28th, and I listened to it and I enjoyed it, and I recommend you do the same. But stay tuned. Me and Rob are going to have a little bit of a Zoom talk for the rest of the show. So hope you enjoy
that. I like you guys. I do. You're fun. You guys are good people. Out watching comedy. I appreciate that. I need this. I do. I really need this. Not comedy. I need to be around good people. Because to be honest with you, I don't have a lot of faith left in humanity. I don't. I'm sorry. I don't. And it's fine, right? We're almost at the end. Last chapter getting kind of weird, right? And look, the nail in the coffin for me was, it happened about a year and a half ago, this 15-year-old kid in England, he figured out that that Apple, the makers of iPhone, were destroying our cell phones with the software update, right? This 15-year-old kid figured out that once we download the software update, it destroys your battery, rendering your phone useless. Now you gotta buy a new phone, okay? Now, first of all, it took 10 generations of iPhone before a child in England was like, you know, they're fucking us. And he proofed it, he called Apple out, and Apple's response was just like, yeah, we've been doing that for years. Now, what Apple should have done is give you a new phone. You should have been able to walk into an Apple store and be like, I know what you did, give me a new phone. And they should have been like, yeah, really sorry about that, won't happen again. Okay, the bare minimum would have been to go into the Apple store and be like, I need a new battery because of what you did. And they should have been like, yeah, here you go, no problem. But what Apple did was say, yeah, bring them in, we could fix them, but you got to pay again. And we as consumers collectively just went, that seems fair. Do you know how insane that is? That's like you hiring me to build you a deck, all right? And I come over to your house and I build you that deck. It's exactly the size and shape you want. It's very sturdy. You could put your favorite chairs on it and drink on it. You love your deck and you're happy. And I leave, okay? But 3 months later, I come back to your house uninvited, all right? And I just show up and I'm like, hey, I got this thing for your deck. Makes your deck better. Put it on your deck, makes the deck better. And you're like, no, the deck's working fine. I'm like, no, trust me, I put this thing on your deck, makes your deck better. It's gonna be the best deck. If you gotta put this on your deck, makes the deck better. And you're like, get the fuck off my property. And I leave. But for the next 6 months, every time you even look at your deck, I pop into the window, I'm like, hey, I got this thing for your deck, I should put it on your deck, make your deck better. And when you're sick of telling me off, you're like, fine, just put that thing on my deck. I light your deck on fire and walk away. And you just call me up, you're like, hey man, you just burned my deck down. I'm like, yeah, I sure did. I'll come back and build a new one, but you gotta pay me again. And you're just like, yeah, that seems fair.
Also, welcome back to the show. I'm joined via the magic of the internet by Rob Bebenek. He's a comedian from Kitchener, Ontario, currently based in Toronto, I believe. And he's got an album coming out today called, as we're recording this, you're probably seeing it a couple of days later, but it's called Everything Is Fine, and you can find it in the usual places, Google, Apple, Spotify, all that. Rob, how are you?
I'm pretty good, John. How about yourself?
Not too bad.
How's life in New Brunswick?
Oh, dire as always.
Aren't you good? You guys are pretty much...
We're pretty good COVID-wise.
Yeah, you guys are pretty... You got it under control there, which is good.
Yeah, I think we're one of the more successful provinces in that regard, but that's probably more to do with that nobody wants to come here, so.
That's not true. Everyone loves the Maritimes.
Everybody loves the Maritimes in general, but I feel like New Brunswick gets short shift a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as unique as Newfoundland. Yeah. And then it's not as big as Nova Scotia. And then PEI is just so cute. So I guess you guys are the forgotten maritime province. But yeah. I don't know. That doesn't make myself – I think comedians in general love the Maritimes. But it's my favorite place to play. And I'm not just saying that because because I'm talking to you. I said that on the radio in Edmonton a couple days ago.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, Edmonton's great, but the Maritimes is where it's at.
No, we're generally happy to be mentioned in a sentence at all. The only thing people from here, I'm from St. John, New Brunswick. If somebody accidentally says St. John's, like Newfoundland, then everybody will hate you forever.
Yeah, yeah, I'm very careful not to mess that up.
Yeah.
I did a show in Bedeck last year. Am I saying that right?
Bedeck? I've never heard of it. Where is that? Is it New Brunswick?
Yeah, Cape Breton, I believe.
Oh, Cape Breton's in Nova Scotia.
Is it?
Is Cape Breton its own thing? I'm really bad at geography. I think it's part of Nova Scotia.
Oh.
Oh, you've lost everybody already. No one's going to download your album.
I thought it was like right between.
No, I think I've never been to Cape Breton. I think Cape Breton is like, I don't know. I'd have to look at a map. But yeah, I've never, I don't know.
At any rate, great time. Yeah. I've obviously been to Moncton for the Hubcap Festival, which is phenomenal.
That's always fun. I assume it's not happening this year.
No, I would imagine not. We'll see. You know, a lot can change in a couple of months.
Yeah.
We could be out of this in like 2 months, and we could be still dealing with it in 2 years. Who knows?
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing, there isn't really a set, like when this happens, then everybody's just kind of playing it by ear. We can visit the other Maritime provinces pretty freely, but everything else, it's a bit of a fuss to come through. And yeah, you guys comedians aren't making a whole lot of money anyway, so to come and do a show for limited capacity and have to possibly self-isolate for 2 weeks, either when you get here or when you go home, is probably not worth it.
Yeah, I've got something like a private gig coming up in Saskatoon. Yeah. It'll be my first time on a plane since this whole thing. So it'll be interesting. But I mean, again, it was something that was booked well before the pandemic and then delayed a few times. And now we're going to make it happen as best we can. So
yeah,
it's definitely trying times to be a comic.
Yeah. Are you a little worried about being on a plane?
Honestly, not really. If you would ask me the same question, you know, a month ago or 2 months ago, I would have answered, well, I just wouldn't have gone on the plane, to be honest with you. But yeah. Now I just feel like there's so many precautions in place. We know a lot more about everything than we did a couple months ago. I'm far less paranoid about getting on a plane now.
Yeah, it's hard to have a real sense of urgency with it here. Like, there's some people that are kind of still freaking out about it, but I think that's because they're consuming like news and podcasts and stuff that are recorded in bigger cities where there are sick people around. But yeah, like in New Brunswick, we've got like a handful of people, none of them in my city, so it's hard to muster up the given a shit enough to put on a mask if I'm going out. Like, I don't make a big fuss if I'm in a place that wants it to, but if I'm looking around and nobody else is wearing one and I know like a little spit droplet's not going to blow down from Moncton and land in my mouth, so I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people who have it here, but then when you start breaking down the numbers, there's really not. Like, you know, there's even, I think Ottawa is getting more than we are here in Toronto now. And it's, you know, there's 7 million people who live in the GTA.
Yeah.
And there's really not that many active cases here. So it's obviously, it's still a cause for concern, but certainly less paranoia than a few months ago where everyone was just straight up locked down.
Yeah. What's it look like in downtown Toronto these days? Does it look like normal or?
Yeah, it's getting pretty, like when you're outside, it's pretty normal. Parks are far more littered with people than they used to be just because people want to see people, but a lot of people here don't have any outdoor space. Like a lot of people live in condos or townhouses and just don't have space to meet with their friends. So they're meeting up in a park. But it was a ghost town for a while. Like, I live right on like the Bloor subway line. Yeah. And we were walking down Bloor Street. I don't know, like the first week of lockdown, and it was a ghost town. It was so eerily quiet in Toronto.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not in a big city, but things are pretty well back to normal. Just looking around, there's lots of businesses that just never reopened that went out. I've been laid off since the end of March with my job, but to walk around, everybody seems to be normal. Some people wear masks, some people not.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, and you know, everyone has their own level of comfort with it, and some people don't seem to think it matters at all, and some people are, you know, terrified to go out their front steps. But you know, it's hard to condemn certain people here. I can't stand anti-maskers, because it's just like, it's really not that big of a deal. Just put it on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone's level of comfort, especially with coming back to comedy. Like, I've reached out to some of my favorite comics to do, I'm running a weekly show here. And just some of them are like, I'm not there yet. And that's fine. I'm okay with that. I can appreciate that. Like, everyone's going to have different apprehensions about it, and is what it is, right?
Yeah, things are slowly kind of trickling back in. I did my first inside a building in a bar open mic like a month ago, and that was pretty fun. I've been putting on, I run an open mic too, but the bar that it's in reopened, but they've got like cover bands and stuff playing on a stage outside on the weekends, so it didn't make sense for the overlap. So I've been doing shows in a parking lot for most of the summer. So looking forward to getting back inside.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I mean, it's a little late this year to start. Like, we were so locked down for most of the summer, even with regards to doing outdoor stuff. Like, you could really only have limited gatherings. But if we're still dealing with this next summer, hopefully we're at a stage where we can do more parking lot shows and what have you. But who knows?
Yeah, and it's hard to plan those kind of things, because you're beholden to the weather. You can make all the arrangements, but then all of a sudden, if it's raining.
Yeah.
Even if you could figure out a covering for like a stage area or something, like, nobody's going to want to go stand out in the rain in a parking lot and watch a show.
Honestly, this past Sunday, I did a show and it started, I'm not going to say pouring, but it was raining pretty hard. And the host got up and he asked, he's like, do you guys want to move it inside and try and figure this out? Or what do you want to do? And everyone was like, we're good. Yeah. Like, people are so happy to be outside and watching live entertainment right now. They're just like, yeah, whatever. I'll get rained on. Who cares? I'll go home and, you know, dry off.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the few that we've had that are indoors have been a packed house. They've limited seating just so that they can split everybody up. And they've got the big tables of people that they're just, if you're friends with people, they don't really care. I'm not sure what, how the bubble is supposed to work, but it's basically, they just quarantine all the comedians at the back. They assume that we're all swapping germs anyway. Everybody's seated. They don't want people wandering around the bar and going up and everything. Do they have any weird, like, what do you guys do with the microphone? Do you have the little condom things that go on the top of it?
So again, it's all like different. People have different comfort levels. Like, some people are using the mic covers, some people are bringing their own mics. The show I run, we don't need a mic. It's in the back patio of a bar, and there's no real noise that we have to fight with, so we just don't use a mic, and that works great. It's like everyone's different the way they want to run it. So we had talked about how we can, you know, run a show with a microphone. We talked about switching mics. We talked about the mic covers. And he actually contacted, the bar owner contacted Shure, the company, the microphone company, mm-hmm. and he was asking how to like properly disinfect it. And he's like, you can't, because there's a cloth inside the mesh, mm-hmm. like inside the mic. And he's like, so all you can do is cover it or have your own mic. And a lot of the comics here just have their own mic. So you can kind of just come pop mm-hmm. off the patch cord and put yours in.
Yeah, we haven't been doing much, but I went to a karaoke bar last week or something, and they've got these little, they're like a little shower cap that you put on the microphone, and you know, they wipe off the grip every time, and everybody puts on a new little hat for their microphone every time. And, but yeah, it feels like here with nobody sick, we're just kind of jumping through the hoops just in case, but I don't know. There's not a huge sense of urgency with it.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are... I don't know, maybe paying the price a bit for the rest of the world, the rest of the country.
Yeah.
You guys are in solidarity with us Torontonians. We can't do anything, so it's nice that you guys have our back.
Yeah, well, and it's, and you know, as not scared as I've been, like last week I had like a sore throat and a runny nose, and I was like, oh no. I went to get a test, and it was fine. I just had a cold or something, but I want to know if I am sick. I don't want to be spreading it around.
Sure, yeah. I think everybody's like that. You wake up, and allergies were particularly bad here this year. So,
yeah,
like a good portion of the summer, and I don't really get allergies, but a good portion of the summer, I kind of like, there's something there. There was enough for me to be like, uh-oh. But I had gone to get a test as well. And even while I was in there, the nurse was just like, you're probably fine.
Yeah, you don't want to be that guy that was like, yeah, I'm probably good, and then find out that you're patient zero.
Yeah. Yeah, apparently there was like, I was talking to some friends in Australia, and there was like one guy who went on this like raver run out in the east coast of Australia, and they, you know, they reckon he gave it to half of the country.
Yeah.
This guy was just traveling through, and he was, I forget where he had been, Spain maybe, and he was sick and just spreading it everywhere.
Yeah, we had a doctor up in northern New Brunswick in Campbellton that there was an outbreak, and it was all his patients, and they found out that he had kind of popped over across the border to Quebec to pick up his daughter or something and didn't tell anybody about it. It's gone back and forth. First, like, he was public enemy number one for a couple of weeks, but now they're saying that yes, he did that, but he didn't get out of his car, and he probably got it from one of his patients. It was just a coincidence. I'm not really sure what happened, but
that did make the news here, actually.
Yeah,
we heard about that, but I never heard the second part where it probably wasn't originated from him. Well,
Now he's in the media. He's talking about suing our premier for defamation for, like, basically calling this guy out and saying that his behavior was unacceptable. I don't think the premier, like, said his name, but the internet exists, so people figured out who it was pretty quick. Yeah. And he got lots of nasty messages on his Facebook.
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the world we live in now, right?
Say
or do the wrong thing, and somebody will try and end your existence.
Yeah. How do you, speaking of that, how do you see comedy going forward? It's kind of a sensitive time in the world, and comedy by its nature, I feel like, should be like poking at people a little bit, but it's not really a time that people are cool with being poked.
Yeah. I think it comes down to tact and intent and, you know, a lot of these people that are complaining about free speech and comedy are just bad comics who take a bad angle, and they just sound ignorant. I personally haven't had any trouble. Like, sure, there's sometimes I have to carefully navigate how I say something in a joke, but you should be doing that anyways if you're worth your salt as a comic. So.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I haven't found that to be a problem. Like, I haven't found anybody. Nobody's coming up to me complaining about certain jokes. And, you know, I also, like, I feel that one thing that's really lost in a lot of the complaints is intent. Like, yeah, maybe he said something dumb, but that's not what they were trying to say. But
sure.
You know, if you go to an amateur night and say, for example, the downtown Toronto Yuck Yucks, you show up on amateur night, part of the thing that people do when they're new to comedy is they want to be edgy and they want to say, they want to tackle subjects that they're just frankly not good enough to tackle, like race, religion, stuff like that. People are just like, oh, I'm going to go at it. I'm going to be edgy. And they're just a shitty comic. And it's not that they're trying to be offensive, but they're trying to tackle a subject that's really hard to navigate. So you'll watch them and I don't get offended because I know what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, they often sound, you know, they just sound ignorant and it's not their intent. They're just trying to be clever and they're not there yet.
Community boy. You can put whatever slant on it you like, but if you want to say your name and that you're listening to 107.3 local FM.
Community boys.
Some of the better comics you see out there, you know, obviously famous comics, but even some of the, you know, better Canadian comics, you see them tackle some pretty tough subjects, but they're good at it and they've put the work in and it's not offensive because people can see that it's a joke.
Yeah. And, you know, but again, on the other hand, those are tough things. And sometimes it takes a few tries to get it right. And sometimes it seems like, yeah, I got this in your head. And then you say it and it's like, oh, guess not.
Yeah.
So like it's not necessarily, it is touchy if you pick one of those subjects, but like your first time saying the words into a microphone, it's not necessarily going to be there yet. So it shouldn't be judged on the same as like, I've thought this out and I've toured it around and here it is on my special or on my album or something like that. It's not the same as if you're just throwing something out at an open mic.
Yeah. And I do think some people are probably just afraid to do anything like that anymore, which I don't like, just because I don't think any subject really should be off limits. I just think if you want to tackle those subjects, it better be good.
Yeah.
Like, it better be a good joke and you better have figured out how to say what it is you're saying in a, you know, inoffensive way.
Right. Yeah. So when was the album recorded? Was it back in November, I think I saw on the press release?
Yeah, it was the last week of November of 2019. So I think it was like November 29th or something. So very end of November. Feel pretty fortunate now that I got that done, you know, because a few months later, I can't. But it's been a long time coming. I'd made a couple of attempts to record already. One, the audio messed up. Another one just didn't go as well as I liked. One I did in a place that just had like 100-foot ceilings. So it sounded awful. It sounded echoey. So really happy that I got this done. Really happy with the recording itself. The guys did an incredible job with it. So it sounds fantastic.
Yeah. So what do you think about the timing of it now? I feel like this is a good time to, there's, you know, you could have dropped it like in the middle of the quarantine when everybody's looking for something to do at home, but also like now it's kind of in between where it's, people are still starved for the entertainment, but you're still starting to ramp up and doing shows here and there again. So it still kind of works as a promotional tool to have people come out and see you too. Right.
You know what, the response already, like I've had a ton of people messaging me already today being like, oh, I'm listening to the album, it's fantastic. And just a lot of other comics and people sharing it. So that's been really nice and overwhelming. And you're right, yeah, probably mid-pandemic would have been perfect because there was nothing going on and people were just looking for anything. But I'm happy with the response it's gotten so far.
Yeah, I listened to it this morning and liked it a lot.
Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
That's great. So what goes into that? Like, is this your first album or first recording? So how long, like what's the oldest thing on it and like the newest thing? I just picture, like, I know a band when they put out their first album, it's like a collection of like the first long time of their career and kind of a best of.
Yeah, there's not too many old jokes on there. Maybe there's a couple. There's a couple that are relatively old, and I guess I've altered them so much over time that I forget when they started.
Yeah.
But my process has always been like, you know, I have my hour that I use, and then anytime I come up with something that's better than something in that hour, I bump out the worst bit from the hour.
Okay.
So there was a few things I had to kind of dust off that I stopped telling just because I was like, that's a good joke. I don't want to waste it. But September, I'm 13 years in comedy. So it's been a collection of all that over time, but none of the stuff I was telling in the first 4 or 5 years, even got a sniff at the album. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So, now that it's out, are you of the mindset that the album's out? So you're done with that material?
Yeah. And, part of the reason to get that album was because I was getting sick of some of those jokes and I really just wanted to get rid of them. And you know, the pandemic's kind of been a good excuse for me to just really jettison those jokes. I know a lot of people say they will, and then they, you know, they wind up relying on them. And obviously I'm going to still do some of them at live shows, but since I got back, I've had four live sets since. And, I've only done one old joke and all that. And the rest of it's just been new stuff that I'm, you know, trying to build that next album.
Yeah. Were you able to write throughout the quarantine? Like, I'm not a pro at it, but I felt like I just had nothing to say because I wasn't living my life, I guess. So I'm just, I can't write too much about, yeah, the cat's over there.
Yeah, I actually wrote a ton. I probably wrote 2.5 hours worth of jokes. I don't know if I'm going to have 30 good minutes out of that, but a lot of the stuff was like premises that I had thought of before, and now I actually sat down and started to work them out.
Yeah.
And a lot of it was just stuff that, you know, that hit me during the pandemic, during lockdown. You know, everyone's got jokes about, you know, our current state of affairs, but yeah, it was maybe a couple of weeks where I was just like, I got nothing. I don't have any motivation. I don't even want to do this right now. And then it, you know, like a switch went off and I was like, we're going to come back at some point and I got to be ready. So I got on it and ended up writing a ton.
Yeah. I wish I had all the time in the world, but, I did find the more like, even I did a couple of Zoom shows over the break, which was weird, but it was better than nothing. And, but even, being on those shows and kind of seeing other people do stuff, and, that kind of was the switch for me, like just being even in the weird version of stand-up comedy, just being around it kind of got the gears turning again.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know if you felt like this. Did you think that the Zoom show was better or worse than you expected?
On paper, I thought it was a terrible idea. I watched one before I ever signed up for it. And that was kind of, when I was watching it, I started just kind of making notes. Like sometimes if I'm late on a show, I'll kind of riff a little bit and like roast. If it's people that I'm friends with and they understand, like I'll just comment on some of the other stuff that other people have said and kind of make fun of what's going on in the room and that kind of stuff. So like that show I watched, but I had like my notebook and I didn't want to impose myself, but like I was ready if they were like, John, do you want to do a set? But just being there and just being mildly disappointed that they didn't ask. So the next one I signed up for, and I think I was on the second one that this person was doing, and and they had decided to mute everybody except for the performer, which was odd. Like, I know Zoom, sometimes if you're talking over somebody else, the sound cuts out and it's hard to hear and if people are being annoying, but it felt just the first few people that went on with zero laughter. Like, people can click on like the little hand clappy thing, but it's not the same though. So I kind of, when I went on, I was like, I know we're supposed to mute, but I asked everybody to unmute their microphones, at least for my set. And even the weird little bit of laughter that was there made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I think so too. I did a big one for like 150 people, so we couldn't obviously unmute everybody. So they set up like a 16 person panel for me that I could interact with, I could hear, and that was enough for me to enjoy the set a bit because I could hear their response, and you know the other people were kind of just. You know, a friend of mine had tuned in and she said that it was just like watching a stand-up special on Netflix. Like they seemed to enjoy it. And it was overall better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a nightmare, but it was something. It was enough of comedy for me to be excited about it and enjoy it.
Yeah. And like, as long as you've got somebody paying attention to it to mute the odd person that doesn't realize that everybody can hear them. Like on one of the ones, there was this couple that was watching it together and like they would cut in and their video would come out and they're having a conversation with each other about whether or not they should change like the fake background because that might be distracting for the show. But in the process, we could hear them having that whole conversation.
Nice.
And there was a show where the video would take over and the sound, and every time some guy took like a big bong rip on the thing, so the video would cut to him. That was funny, but it's its own set of things. Have you come up with a lot of like pandemic and lockdown type stuff? I'm kind of two minds. I'm worried that everybody's going to have the same kind of hacky jokes about it, but also it's something that everybody went through, so you can't not comment on it.
Yeah, well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, everyone's going to have their take on it, but I would feel weird not addressing it. Like, going on stage right now and talking to an audience as if this isn't happening seems weird to me, but... teach their own if you don't want to. I'm certainly not condemning that. But I feel I need to, and I, you know, it's, if I'm going to have a joke that everyone else is going to have the same premise of, I just want mine to be better. So that's all you can focus on if you're going to do a pandemic joke. And, you know, I've probably got 15, 20 minutes on it.
Yeah.
When you start breaking it all down, but when that's all said and done and cleaned up and tightened, it'll probably be 4 or 5 minutes. But I can't help but not write about it. That's what's going on right now.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so are you somebody that like sits down and like, I am writing now, or do you kind of, does something come to you and then you got to kind of get it out?
Yeah, it's more like something comes to me and then I'll write the idea in the notes in my phone. It's usually something that either makes me angry or makes me laugh, and then I'll write the idea down. And then I used to just write on stage. Like, that was my, I'd go up with the premise and I'd start talking about it and I'd find my way to the joke there. But because I haven't been able to get on stages, I've started to like actually write again. And they say, like, your own handwriting enhances creativity. I don't know if that's bullshit or not, but it works for me. So I have once again started to sit down and write and structure and, you know, try and memorize it to a degree. I never want to feel robotic on stage. So even if you see me tell a joke, there's always little changes that I'm making. And it's because I don't really write things down and memorize them.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish I had an opportunity to do more writing on stage. I think that's something I could be good at, but in New Brunswick, even under normal times, there isn't there isn't multiple shows every week and stuff. So if you're only getting to do a couple of shows a month, it's hard to I feel like I'm squandering that 10 minutes if I'm just going up there with nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I want to make the most of it, but
it for sure helps in Toronto. There's just, you know, when in normal times, there's so many rooms that you can just go figure it out.
Yeah.
Which we're really lucky in that regard. But do you guys had a Yux for a while?
Yeah, it was about a year and a half.
And then did it reopen quick, like briefly under?
No, it was supposed to reopen as Crickets, but that just never panned out. Nobody's entirely sure. There's lots of different information coming from both sides of that thing, and there's lots of weird drama around it. Nobody's really sure what happened, but yeah, that never panned out.
Yeah,
it had gotten so far that they had announced they were going to have an opening night where they were going to do like a comedy contest with the local amateurs, and that was supposed to, like, that was like 1 week. They were like, all right, it's going to be next Wednesday, but then it just never happened.
I mean, I hope it reopens as something, even if it just opens as an independent, because...
Yeah, well, it was reopened as the Public House, so it was kind of a general, like, it was mostly music stuff and private events that was going on for a little while, and I was talking to them. I was hoping to start doing some local comedy shows, but their sign has been replaced over the pandemic, so they may have bailed out on that, but we do have punchlines here. It's not a weekly thing. They use, do you know Shane Ogden? He runs that.
I've never actually met Shane in person. It's funny though, he had retweeted my album and then posted, or I can't remember if it was Twitter or Facebook, but he had retweeted it and then sent me a message being like, all my friends say you're hilarious, so I'm going to give this a listen. So I was like, well, thank you, Shane. But we've never actually met in person. We've been Facebook friends for years, but
yeah, that's our local big show. Like I'm still waiting. It's been postponed twice. I was supposed to open for Derek Seguin in April, and that got postponed, and it was supposed to be a couple of weeks ago, and then that got postponed because Quebec's not open yet, so it's going to be in October, but they're doing their grand reopening in September. But that one is there isn't a weekly show. There's a Friday Saturday pro show, usually twice a month. They might ramp it up eventually, but that's something. And there's opening spots available for local people, but it's still not it's not as regular as having like the Yuck Yucks, because that was three nights a week that you could potentially at least get a guest spot and do a quick 5 minutes here and there.
Yeah. Yeah. I was sad I never got out there, while it was open.
But yeah, Shane's been putting on shows forever. The Punchlines one, that started up, they moved locations and they were doing like one monthly show over at a different spot called Chuckles. But they've got more ownership and this is a much better setup for it. It's a great room. So yeah, if Shane likes you, then you should try to get down here. I'd like to see you live too.
Yeah, I'd love to get out there. Like, I mean, who knows when we'll be able to again, but East Coast is a big priority for me. I wanted to do like just an entire East Coast run. Again, I was talking a bit with, Colin Hollett from Newfoundland.
I know who he is. I have never met him though, but yeah.
I was talking with him about setting it up, and we were kind of making some headway on it. I was heading out to Halifax. I was scheduled to play the Yuck Yucks there maybe 2 weeks after lockdown. So, and I hadn't been out since I had played the festival maybe 4 years earlier. So yeah. I'm jonesing to get back out there, and I do tentatively have a Cross Canada tour booked for 2021 that I think it ends in Halifax, but I do come through St. John for one show.
Yeah.
So if you know, if we got to handle this thing and we can actually do this next year, I will be coming through. I forget the theater I'm playing.
If it's a theater, we've only got, is it the Imperial Theater? Does that sound familiar?
That's okay.
That's our big fancy one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I'm booked to headline the Imperial, next, June. Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, that's a good venue and the sound is really good. I think, I saw Jim Jefferies play there a couple of years ago. It was, it's a good venue. It's kind of, it's an expensive room, so whoever's bankrolling this whole thing's got some money on the line. But well, yeah, that's one of the thing. Like even music wise, St. John, a lot of people, it's hard to get here because we've got like our big hockey arena, which is where like Seinfeld and Gaffigan will play, and then Imperial Theater is a bit smaller than that, but pretty pricey. And then like there's nothing like in between that and like bars.
Yeah.
Aside from like Shane's Club punchlines now, I'm not sure what the capacity is for there, but yeah, that's.
Yeah. I mean, it's difficult. Like the theater, I'm playing the Sony Center. Well, formerly the Sony Center here, I think it's called Meridian Hall now. And it's a pretty big theater. I think it's like 3,400 seats. So it's going to be a massive tour whenever it happens.
But
we
are fortunate
in that we have every tier of shows. Like you can play your little hole in the wall bar gigs where there's like 20 people, you know, and then every level right up to Sky Dome, which obviously I'm not playing that anytime soon. But we are super lucky in that regard. You know, we have 200 person theaters, and then we have 300s and 400s and we're really lucky in that regard. But to be honest with you, like it's the like small town mid-level theaters that are my absolute favorite to play. Like,
yeah,
300 or 400 seaters in you know, even St. John is a city.
Yeah,
I like really small towns. Those are my favorite to play.
Yeah. I've done some of those, and they're just happy that anybody has come to their town to do anything. They're very appreciative of it.
And it's a riot, and they're just out to have a great time, and it's what I love most about it.
Yeah, and you probably, it's as a touring comic, it's probably fun to just mix it up with the local weirdos that are at the show. We probably get some good stories.
Yeah, I definitely, my first time on the road, I was out west, and Brian O'Gorman warned me. He's like, yeah, we like party with people afterwards, but never go back and party at someone's house.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't know what you're talking about. And I wound up learning my lesson the hard way. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It was a messed up night. So if you do hit the road, party, but don't go back to somebody's house, because that's when things get weird.
Yeah, I did the last time I did a guest spot at Yuck Yucks, I was talking to this couple afterwards, and then they just started talking about like all these new sex toys that she got, and I thought they were joking. They were like, "You want to come and, you know, see her try them out?" I thought they were joking, but in retrospect, I was like, "No, I think they were serious." It's a good thing that I said no. That would have been weird.
Yeah, I didn't have that happen, but I don't know. The story's too long to go into the whole thing, but long and the short of it is a girl decided to break up with the guy who owned the house in front of us at like 4 a.m, like woke him up and started breaking up with him. And I was like, we need to get the hell out of here now.
Yeah.
And then I got back to where I was staying, and there was like 9 police cruisers in the lobby, like parked in front of the condo that I was staying at. And then the lobby was just full of cops arresting guys. And I'm crashed at like 4:30 in the morning walking through this, and everyone's stopping and staring at me, and I'm so drunk. They're like, "Who is this guy?" And they're like, "Who are you?" And all I could think to say was, I'm a comedian, because I was staying at the Yucks Calgary Comedy Condo at the time. And they were just like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? But, you know, the perps they had in handcuffs didn't say they knew me. So I got to walk by, but then I had to push the elevator button, and I was just like sitting there awkwardly waiting for the elevator to come down from like the 15th floor to get me. It was like right out of a movie. It was so dumb. And I was just like, yep, not going to party at other people's houses anymore on the road.
Yeah. Well, that's good advice. Cause if I ever do go out on tour, I'm the type of person that will stupidly put myself in a situation just because I figure it might be a good story, but it hasn't blown up in my face yet. But
I mean, we were having so much fun until we got back to that guy's place, and then it got weird so fast.
Yeah. All right, Rob. Well, it's been good talking to you. Do you want to remind everybody where they can find you?
It's just OL_Bebsy on Instagram, and then Rob_Bebenick on Twitter. You can just punch my name into any of that, and then the album is available iTunes, Google, Spotify, all that stuff. So
yep, Everything Is Fine, name of the album. Bebenick is spelled Bebenek, by the way. But it's been good talking to you. And when that tour comes back around, tip me up. We can get you back on the show and hopefully sell some tickets for you.
Yeah, I certainly will. I appreciate you having me on, John.
Welcome back to the show. I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Check out Rob's album, Everything Is Fine, in all of the usual places. This has been St. John Forward Radio, and I don't want to end things on a sour note, but I guess I'm going to. I was hoping that No Jokes Barred would return to the indoors in September. I reached out to McGill's and asked about the September 19th for a show date, and was told that there was a private function booked already. That's fine. Responded back asking what days were available, and didn't get an answer. So point taken. I don't know if I'm going to bother finding a new spot, just because it's tough out there for comedy. So I get just this might be the end of No Jokes. Oh, wait. Oh, the private function has canceled. So September 19th is available. No Jokes Barred will be happening on Saturday, September 19th, in St. John, New Brunswick, at McGill's on the boardwalk. And I don't need to scrape the tattoo off my arm. Anyway, come check that out if you can. This has been St. John Forward Radio. Thank you for watching or listening. I'm John Forward. You can follow me in all of the places. Give it a goog. Thank you.